Hey there, it's Antrice, and welcome to another episode of the Savvy Painter Podcast.
The Savvy Painter Podcast is sponsored by Faso. Faso is a leading provider of fine art websites, and they make it easy to get online, help you sell more of your work, and promote your art. Faso makes it easy to build a website. Your Faso website is mobile-friendly, integrated with all the major social media platforms, and ready for sales. Go to savvypainter.com/Faso or click on the link in the show notes to get the full details. Last week, I wrote an email about resistance. The email was a day late because, well, resistance. And if this episode is late, you can bet resistance played a part in that too. Solo episodes are new to me, which means resistance has a foot in the door already. I first learned about resistance when I read Stephen Pressfield's book, The War of Art, in 2005. Before then, I didn't understand why painting, writing, or doing anything creative was so freaking hard. Since then, I've reread that book at least once every single year. No joke. And each time I read it, I have a different insight. If you've read Stephen Pressfield's book, The War of Art, you're familiar with resistance. What is it? Stephen Pressfield writes, "Resistance is any act that rejects immediate gratification in favor of long-term growth, health, or integrity. Or, expressed another way, any act that derives from our higher nature instead of our lower. Any of these acts will elicit resistance." Even if you've not read this book, I'll wager that you are familiar with resistance. You just didn't know it had a name. A proper name, with a capital R. It's real. It's powerful. It's a sneaky little bastard who's not always easy to spot. Pressfield uses a lot of war analogies in his descriptions of resistance, and he's right to do so because it's serious business. Resistance is at war with you. It has the ability to destroy you. Resistance wants to take you out. So I do see resistance as an enemy. If I let him have his way, this podcast would cease to exist. I'd stop showing up for you. Even worse, I'd stop showing up for myself. But all that is to say that resistance is no joke. So in my email, I said that I don't want my studio to be a battleground. This year, I'm focusing on making my studio a place of joy and creativity, and I don't want to see it as a place I do battle, even if that is sometimes true. We all have our ways of dealing with resistance, and in this episode, I'm going to share how my dance with resistance has evolved, and how some of you are experiencing and dealing with resistance too. But first, I want to give a little gratitude to two people who left reviews on Apple Podcast. Bandmother from Canada says, "Huge thank you. Thank you, Antrice, for all your care and hard work. The discovery of your podcast, Savvy Painter, couldn't have come at a better time for me personally. I love how you interview the artists and dig in and ask how a day in their studio would look like. I'm so inspired and can relate to so many." Well, a huge thank you to you, Band Mother. I also love getting a peek inside of other artists' studios. It is so fun for me to make this for you, and I'm glad you're part of our community. Cat V2 from Australia also left a review on Apple Podcasts and had this to say. "Antrice has a gift for connecting with our guests and bringing up for discussion important topics that I can relate to as an artist. Thanks for the inspiration." Well, one of my secrets to resisting resistance, aside from playing with words, is connecting with you. I'm endlessly inspired by the other artists I've met since I've started this adventure. So thank you, VCAT2, for being a part of that and for leaving that review on Apple Podcast. And if you'd like to leave a review for the podcast, I would really appreciate it. It helps make the podcast easier for other people to find. You can do that by going to savvypainter.com/review. So as it turns out, connecting with other artists is tip number one to repel resistance. Use your community to help combat resistance. As you might have guessed, I have a bigger battle with resistance when it comes to writing than I do when it comes to painting. So I actually wrote this episode of the podcast in a writer's group. We meet twice a week, and just for 1 hour we write. In that hour, we only talk for about 5 minutes, but we get straight to work. It's super fun and amazingly productive when you know other people are also working. It pushes you to go farther and to stay focused. This has been such a game changer for me that I've implemented inside of my program, The Growth Studio. We're having virtual paintouts now. So let other people inspire you. Let your community lift you up.
Savvy Painter listener Carla Lamb also uses community. Here's what Carla shared with me in an email she wrote this week. I like the metaphor of dancing with rather than fighting with resistance. I think it helps us to befriend it in some way rather than as an exhausted adversary. The way I've been doing it lately is showing up at events, community, social events with whatever time and energy I have at that moment, no matter how little or fragmented that may be. This weekend, I took an hour for myself out of four to just look at a piece that I had started and to say hello to the people who are showing up as well and I'm wanting to build a community with. Anyway, showing up at all is the way that I make a sacrifice to the resistance god. Thank you, Carla Lamb, for sharing that with us. Community has always been an important part of our survival. We, the mortals of the world, have always needed it to stay alive. While we no longer need help defending ourselves against saber-toothed tigers, we still need our peeps. I think Savvy Painter would have collapsed a long time ago if it hadn't been for the support and virtual butt-kicking that I get from a group of six super smart entrepreneurial women I met online 3 or 4 years ago. Resistance tried his best to kill this podcast many times. Me and my girls were just too much for him. As author, fellow podcaster, and marketing dude Seth Godin says, find the others. Find the others who want to make the same sort of things that you want to make. The others who share your interest to become a better painter. The others who share your interest to push yourself further. Find the others who inspire you to make doing your work more important than any trick that resistance could possibly play on you. You don't have to do this alone. Stephen Pressfield points out resistance is a shapeshifter. It's a demon. It will take whatever form it needs to. Sylvia Bailey, an artist from Toronto, has been a longtime listener of this podcast and someone who I was fortunate to work with in Grow Studio. She emailed me this. Resistance. Let me count the ways. Some of the ways resistance manifests for me. I need to learn more before I can start or complete this work. I need to get just the right supplies, paint, medium, substrate, brush, or the perfect lighting, etc. So let me spend hours and money researching the perfect whatever, and then looking for the best price, blah, 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 blah. I need to clean the toilet, wash the dishes, dust. I don't even dust. I will make art right after I check anything online. It will only take me a minute. Doubt my skills, the process, and the value of making art. Forgetting that making art matters. Forgetting that making is the essential part. Thank you so much, Sylvia, for sharing the many ways that resistance shows up for you. Resistance will encourage you to overthink, overanalyze, and over-research to the point that your mind is so filled with data that you are immobilized. It's called analysis paralysis, and I am the queen of overthinking and self-inflicted analysis paralysis. Since I know that that's my tendency, I'm learning to make action my default. But wait, resistance shows up again. Resistance tried to tell me that what I meant was acting before thinking. And oh my gosh, I could hear my mom warning me, Antrice, think before you act. I heard that 1,000 times growing up. I'm the daughter of a teacher, and I went to a Montessori school where curiosity and learning were paramount. So getting to a place where I act before an analyzing was super hard for me. Really, really hard, because resistance knows exactly which buttons to push. Resistance twisted my desire to stop overthinking and instead tried to convince me that that meant thoughtless action was the way to go. It does not. It just means favoring action, period. It just means using trial and error more often. It means that we're artists, not brain surgeons. We have a lot more room for error. Nobody dies if we don't get it exactly right. And in fact, when we don't get it exactly right, it often turns out better. Those happy accidents you can't plan for are what make your art uniquely yours. So here are a few rules that I've made for myself. In time, I might adjust them, but for now, they're working for me. Given the choice between consuming and making, I will always choose making. I can only research for 20 minutes at a time, and after I research, I always take action. That means if I'm researching a technique, I can only spend 20 minutes before I actually try the technique.
That way I test my understanding of it. And that's what makes my next research phase much more specific and catered to what I actually need to know, which, contrary to what resistance tells me, is not every single thing before I can start. I only need to know enough to take my next best step. And most of the time, that baby step is enough to get me going. But if I get stuck again, I just have to ask myself, what is the smallest step that I can take right now that will move me in the right direction? So those are a few rules that I've created for myself, and you're going to make your own that work for you. You may not be prone to analysis paralysis like me and Sylvia, but you're prone to something, and resistance will find it and use it against you. And that's where my dance comes in. I know that resistance will show up every day. He might be in my studio waiting by the easel. He could be hiding in the sink next to a pile of dishes, or maybe he's playing outside with my puppies. What a jerk. But I know he's there, and he's looking for a way in, always. Stephen Pressfield says resistance only moves in one direction. Resistance obstructs movement only from a lower sphere to a higher. So if you're considering exchanging your studio time for a long scroll through Facebook, resistance isn't going to stand in your way. But if your aspiration for the day is to get your website up and running so that you'll be able to present to that gallery that you've scheduled a meeting with, resistance is going to be front and center, waiting for you. On the other hand, if you're building a website to hide from your real work, resistance will help you with that. He'll tell you that before you can build that website, you have to find the perfect font and the perfect color scheme that exactly matches your soul. Also, you need to learn how to build websites. That ought to keep you busy for a while and away from your easel. See how it works?
The Savvy Painter Podcast is sponsored by Faso. Faso is a leading provider of fine art websites, and they make it easy to get online, help you sell more of your work, and promote your art. Faso makes it easy to build a website. Your Faso website is mobile-friendly, integrated with all the major social media platforms, and ready for sales. Go to savvypainter.com/Faso or click on the link in the show notes to get the full details.
Like Lisa Bain, another listener wrote to me, sometimes I find myself doing productive procrastination, like working on my website or paying the bills or researching other artists' work, things that I can easily justify as important tasks. But all the while, I have this nagging feeling that I need to paint, and I feel the resistance keeping me from it, like right now, as I'm answering your email. The more important your work, the harder resistance pushes, and that is actually how you can use resistance to your advantage. Use resistance as your compass. Lean into those uncomfortable places. The first step to beating resistance is actually recognizing that he's there. My favorite line in a movie is from The Usual Suspects. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he doesn't exist. Actually, Charles Baudelaire wrote that first. But it makes sense, especially for resistance. So you have to recognize that it's there and be able to see it when it shows up. The first few times I read The War of Art, I didn't think it was relevant that Pressfield specifically says that resistance is external. I completely dismissed that. And I'm slow sometimes, but I eventually got why that is so important. When I internalize resistance, he infects everything. He feeds my self-doubt, the inner critic, imposter syndrome, all of it. When I internalize resistance, he wins, because if resistance is internal, that means there's something fundamentally flawed, like I'm broken beyond repair. So I'm going to nerd out for a quick minute, because I see that distinction as really similar to what Carol Dweck wrote about in her book, Mindset, and I'll link to that in the show notes. When we see our abilities as fixed, meaning we are born with them, or either we have them or we don't, we handicap ourselves. We tend towards a fatalistic view of the world, that's just the way it is and I can't change it. But when we adapt a growth mindset, we have options. And I love having options. We understand that we are capable of learning and changing and adapting. By internalizing resistance, I was seeing it as something inherently wrong with me, something I couldn't fix, proof that I was not a real artist. And I know that's something that a lot of you struggle with too. So I was telling myself that a real artist, after all, doesn't struggle with what to paint. A real artist just saunters into the studio and farts out masterpiece after masterpiece. A real artist doesn't trouble themselves by worrying about family or friends or other obligations. A real artist wouldn't bother with a podcast. She'd use that time to paint. A real artist wouldn't be wasting time thinking about resistance. She'd just be painting. A real artist has X. I don't have X, so I'm not a real artist. I'm just pretending. Resistance had convinced me that he wasn't the real problem. The real problem was me, and that something was wrong with me personally. I wrestled with this one a lot. I could accept that resistance was real and deserved a name. But making it external seemed to conflict with my idea that I should be responsible for my own action and inaction. So viewing resistance as an external force felt like I'd be shirking my responsibility. Eventually, I realized that I was taking that to an extreme. The weather is an outside force too, and I decide how I will respond to it. I can deny that it's raining and get soaking wet, or I can grab my raincoat and an umbrella. Now that I truly accepted resistance as an external force, I could see why Pressfield went to such great lengths to show me that. If resistance is an external force, it's not my fault that it exists. I'm not an idiot. If resistance is universal, and even Stephen Pressfield and Oprah experience it, then I'm not alone. My inner critic, self-doubt, and all their little friends lose a boatload of ammo. It's not my fault if it's raining outside. But it is my fault if I don't notice it or I refuse to bring an umbrella. That's why acknowledging resistance is there, naming it when I see it, and having systems in place to deal with it is so important. Internalizing it and beating myself up for its existence does not work. It just makes me feel like crap. So when I see resistance, I say hello. I notice the shape he's taken today, and I'm ready to tango. Once I've developed the habit of seeing resistance in all of his forms, now I can learn from him. I can use him as a compass. If he's pushing hard, it's because I'm onto something important, something that matters. I have to be ready to do the emotional work, as Seth Godin calls it, to embrace discomfort so that I can get my work done. When I wrote that email last week about resistance, I asked you to share some of your experiences with it, and I got a huge response. So thank you so much to those of you who took the time to share your experiences with me. And now I want to read a few more of the responses I got when I asked listeners to share their experiences with me. Anne Marie wrote, "Resistance shows up through family obligations for me. For the most part, kids, house, husband, work all seem to jump in line before my painting." I get that, Anne Marie. We're taught from an early age to put others in front of ourselves. We're taught not to be selfish. I think a lot of our language has been corrupted. Now, being selfish seems to mean doing anything at all for yourself. And I hear this from women especially. "I feel selfish for taking time for myself. If I have a few minutes, I should use it for my family." Your family loves you. Even if they don't always show it in the most obvious of ways, they do. And if you don't take the time you need for yourself, you won't have the energy to be fully present for them. I know it's not easy, but we have to learn to put our own oxygen mask on first and not feel bad about it. Just because you put your own oxygen mask on first does not mean that you've taken all the masks away from everybody else. Please remember that. Renee had a really interesting insight that is family related, and I love the mind shift that she's experienced. Here's what Renee wrote. "Hi, Entries. Oh, the magic of resistance. I invite it. I welcome it because I then have the excuse I need to not face the bigger things. Even though my kids are mostly grown, I still put that mom role front and center, making sure that all of their needs are met, half hoping that they aren't, so that I can yet again set all aside and swoop in like a super mom. I finally started to recognize that this underlying motivation, it wasn't that I wanted to be needed or to be a good mom. I already know that I am. It was my fear of failure as an artist. Working on an MFA at 55, I am realizing that there isn't a lot of time for fear and resistance. I need to push in and do it. But like you said, I don't want to battle. Life is too short. So maybe along with that resistance, there can be an attitude shift. I get to work on my MFA. It truly is so cool to have this massive painting stapled up in my living room wall. No escaping this one. It's due next Sunday." I love that mindset shift so much. And yes, your language matters. Renee is finding her own way to get her work done, and it's an evolving practice. Here's another observation from Patricia H. Patricia says, I found that denying its presence just makes it grow stronger. If I do the ostrich thing and put my head in the sand, it'll just get worse. So I've learned that the best response is the quick, unequivocal one. And this has become my standard response to resistance. I go to the easel. I usually choose whatever project I'm most dreading. I've heard this is called eat the frog first thing in the morning approach. Invariably, I find that once I break through that blockade of resistance, I'm on a roll and good for another few days before the resistance demon comes back. The most important thing for me was learning not to panic or catastrophize whenever resistance visits me. Instead, I just employ my response, getting to work, which in turn builds my confidence and I've got the inner strength to tackle it next time it shows up because it continues to show up regularly. I love that, Pat. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. When Stephen Pressfield wrote about resistance, he introduced many of us to resistance with a capital R. Like I said, I didn't think much about why he externalized resistance to be an outside force, but I get it now. Resistance is a thief. It steals our greatness. It steals our dreams. Showing up is hard. Painting is hard. But you know what? We can do hard things, even if resistance is there. Call it a battle, call it a dance, call it whatever you want, but resistance is real. And as I hope you've learned from this episode, one thing is for sure, you are not alone. So a quick review of a couple of tips to combat resistance. Use your community to lift you up and inspire you. If nothing else, know that you are not in this alone. Acknowledge that resistance is real. Use resistance as a compass. Do the work. Find a routine and stick to it no matter what. Even if, as I've told you before, that's just 15 minutes a day. And one last tip that I'd like to add, celebrate. Remember to have fun. I can't tell you how much of a revelation that one has been for me too. It sounds so stupid sometimes, but the fact is I have to remind myself to have fun. Because again, I don't want my studio to be a battleground. I don't want it to be a place I dread going into. I want it to be a place that I look forward to, even if it's hard. I hope you found this episode useful. I've linked to all of the resources that I've mentioned in this episode in the show notes at savvypainter.com/podcast. If you have not read The War of Art yet, obviously I highly, highly recommend it. If you have read it, it's probably worth reading it again. That's it for this week. Talk to you soon.